This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus insisted that the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side. Having sent the crowds away, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray, remaining there alone as night fell. Meanwhile, the boat, already 1,000 yards from the shore, was being tossed about in the waves that had been raised by a fierce wind. About 3 a.m, Jesus came walking towards them on the lake. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said. And in their fear, they began to cry out. Jesus hastened to reassure them. "Do not worry. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter spoke up and said, "If it's really you, tell me to come to you across the water." "Come," Jesus said. And so Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. He began to sink, and he cried out, "Save me!" And Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and caught Peter. "You have so little faith," Jesus said to him. "Why did you doubt?" Once they had climbed back into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat showed great reverence, declaring to Jesus, "You are indeed God's own." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Everything that is written in the Bible is true, and some of it may have happened. And I say that not in jest, but in my belief. I don't think God permits anything to happen that is contrary to what happens in nature. No one can walk on water. So why this story? What was happening when the writer decided to write this story? The writer most likely did not know Jesus, or he would have been a very young child at the death of Jesus. And yet the writer, that we call Matthew, with great belief in the divinity of Jesus, took time out of his life to write these stories. What was going on in Matthew's community, in his world, when he wrote? What understanding did he have of Jesus and Jesus' ability to calm fears and guide his people with divine love and peace? Matthew was most likely writing in the 80s or 90s of the Common Era. He most likely had lived through the destruction of Jerusalem. He and everyone that he knew had a friend, a relative, or a neighbor who had been killed by the Romans during that siege. Many had starved or were put to the sword in the final conquest. Those followers of the way of Jesus who were not in Jerusalem that fateful Passover were the people that Matthew was writing to. They had lived together with worry and in some fear for their lives. They were never sure just what to expect from the Roman soldiers. Every time they walked through the city, they could see the fragment of the temple wall that Emperor Titus had left as a very painful reminder of their defeat. They were defeated. They were occupied. And they were taxed to maintain their occupier's abuse. They may have seen themselves as the disciples in the boat that was being beaten by the waves. Matthew has another story where Jesus was asleep in the boat during a heavy storm and he needed to be woken up. In our passage this week, though, the disciples do not have the luxury of waking Jesus. Jesus is not there. Jesus is not with them, just as he is not with Matthew's people. In the story, the disciples have been struggling to keep the boat afloat for a while. Over their cries of fear, Jesus calls to them, "Take heart. It is I. Have no fear." These words, "It is I," could be translated as "I am," revealing who Jesus is, the child of God. But that revelation was only possible in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of the storm. Jesus is saying to the disciples in the boat, "While it may seem that your boat will be swallowed by the storm, take courage and don't be afraid, because I am there with you." God was there with them. I believe this is what Matthew wanted his followers to realize. Jesus is with them in the chaos of the lives that they are living. Perhaps they, like Peter, were having doubts. And so Matthew asks, as Jesus had, "You have so little faith. Why do you doubt?" They will be reminded that God is with them when they hear the disciples who were in the boat declaring to Jesus, "You are indeed God's own." This is the climax of the story. It isn't a story about Peter's faith or his lack of faith. Ultimately, it was about the power of Jesus, that believing in Jesus could bring a calmness, a confidence, a calming in the storms of life, that Jesus was a child of God. It's not the miracles. It's the disciples' statement of faith in Jesus. This is the first time that the disciples have addressed Jesus as the Son of God. I think this is what the writer wanted those in the community to remember. With all of their fears and all of their worries, they were following the way of Jesus, God's own Son. Matthew took pen to ink to remind those with him that in all their worries and all their fears, with all the sorrows that have fallen on them, God was in the boat of life with them. Matthew's people were searching for a way to allay their fears by connecting to Jesus, a man that they believed was the Son of God. But many of them had never met. Like people today, they may have expected God to come in the spectacular, but God often speaks the loudest in the silence. Elijah's loneliness, he was able to meet God in the mountain in silence. So too, Jesus, after feeding the 5,000, was able to meet God on top of the mountain by himself in silence. We often fear what it means to be alone, but we are never alone. God lives with us and in us and in all that we do. The hard part is for us to slow down, quiet ourselves, and listen in the silence for that presence of God. Try to find some silence in your life. Listen for God in those moments. You might be surprised by what you hear. The storm came, not because the disciples had sinned or embarked on some foolishness, but while they were obeying Jesus' commands to get in the boat. Following Jesus can be a difficult task that's often met with storms and tribulations. Being a follower of the way of Jesus is about being responsible to your call, even when the storms of life roll in. It is easy to be afraid when the winds of life torture us, just as the disciples were terrified in the boat. And you know that storms are always brewing. And Christ is always calling to us, saying, "Come." When we take our eyes off Jesus, we might begin to sink in the destructive power of the world. But Jesus' faith in us is unchangeable. He will always stand there on the water with his hand outstretched, waiting for us to reach out and recognize our connection with Peter. I imagine that the storm was a terrifying thing for the disciples to experience. But I am sure that the calm that came after the storm, in the silence after the wind, it was profoundly real for the disciples, because it's when we take time to find God in that silent, quiet moment of our lives, before or after our storms, that God's presence can come through and Jesus can be made more obvious to us. It's in this quiet following the storm that the disciples finally got it. They finally realized just who it was that they were following. It was not a man who had the ability to work miracles or tell incredible stories. This man was the Son of God. We too need to remember just whose boat we're in the story of our lives. We are under constant barrage of news that can send our blood pressure sky high. We have fears of a possible nuclear war, terrorism on a global scale, climate change with soaring temperatures and disastrous floods, the political ramifications of elections, the changes in women's health care, as well as increased poverty and homelessness, refugee crisis everywhere, wars in Syria, Congo, and Ukraine. There are also personal issues. Will you be denied a service because of who you love? Our life circumstances also change, and at times we wonder if we can overcome the unexpected challenges of our lives. We worry about health care, getting a serious illness, or the sudden death of a loved one. Anxiety and fear are part of our everyday life. Others have recognized the damaging effect of fear on our lives. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's words have echoed long after he reassured the country, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Why is fear so disabling? Why does it keep us clinging to the sides of the boat of life? Why? Because fear can paralyze us. We don't have control. We feel helpless. We forget who is always with us. We need to trust that we can make good decisions and that mistakes are correctable. We need to turn our minds and our hearts to the lesson in our story. Once Peter and Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down. In the midst of the fierce storm, because Jesus was with them, the disciples became calmer, recognizing his authority, and they knew that they were safe. The Gospels are full of moments like this. In the midst of fear and doubt, recognition of the loving presence of God results not only in an outer, but an inner peace. God is with us. God is within us. We often think that peace is found when the waves of life are calm. But Jesus never promised us smooth sailing. Instead, he promised always to be with us. Peace can be found in the presence of Jesus, even in the middle of a storm. In today's gospel, we clearly hear the encouraging words of Jesus, "Don't be afraid, it's me. I am with you." We need to find courage to step out of the boat. The only path to a deeper belief is to step out and walk on the water of faith with the one who sends you. God is a God of yesterday and today. Our God is also a God of tomorrow, the future. We have heard that song, "Be Not Afraid, I Go Before You Always." We need to believe that this is true. Soon, you will be invited to participate in the Lord's Supper. If you take anything away from this sermon, I hope it is this. The Eucharist is one of, if not the most fundamental ways of understanding who Jesus is. It is our way of walking to Jesus out on the water. As you prepare to receive this meal, consider how parallel our story is with the scripture lesson today. I am sure that many of us want Jesus to appear in our lives in a magnificent fashion, just like the first reading he did to Elijah. I am sure that some of us try desperately to hear God and are often met with silence. I am sure that some of us have doubts. But we also have faith. Faith in the message, the life, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we gather as a community, to move into the new reality of Jesus Christ through the kingdom of God. We follow Christ because he stands before us, walking on the water of the storms of our lives, his hand at us stretched, asking us to come and walk with him. Your comments.